Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
A late shot on the
back. The finisher, Lowry Markkanen!
The crossover, LaVine!
Get it up or get out the way, Trae Young!
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat, and we're talking to you live after a Bulls win over the Celtics, their second in a row. Bulls come away with a 102-96 victory. They improved to 24-33 on the season. The Bulls win this game without Zach LaVine in the lineup, but the Celtics were shorthanded as well. Celtics didn't have Marcus Smart. Celtics didn't have Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker, Robert Williams. But still, coming into this game, it certainly seemed like a game the Bulls were going to lose, especially given how poorly they've played over the last couple weeks. But instead, we saw a Bulls team build off a strong defensive performance against Cleveland in a win over the Cavs a couple days ago to hold the Celtics under 100 points. It was really a brutal shooting night for Jason Tatum. He goes 3-17 from the floor, just did not look like himself, even though he finished with the first triple-double of his career. But the Bulls somehow held on to a win here. The Celtics tied the game at 90, Jason, as you wrote about in your bloggable recap. At that point, I just assumed that the Bulls were certainly going to lose this game, right? But a clutch defensive play by Kobe White, of all people, some good free throw shooting down the stretch, couple good buckets, and a big night by Nikola Vucevic is enough for the Bulls to get the win. So always good to beat the Celtics, Jason. And this was a game that I can't believe they clawed out.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, they went down 9-0 early. Like it looked like they were about to get blown out from the start. It's like, oh God, here we go. Like they couldn't make anything. They go down 9-0. They trailed by 9 a few times. Jaylen Brown was on fire. And like I said, it's like, here we go. And midway through the second quarter, Jabari Parker yammed on somebody's head, I can't remember who it was, to make it 44-32. And it was like, all right, like, I mean, the Bulls just have nothing going here offensively. Like they can't score. They finished the half decently strong. The Celtics kind of just were sleepwalking through the end of that first half. And then the Bulls kind of, they finally woke up in the third quarter, started playing really good basketball. Vucevic was awesome. I mean, they were playing through him all night, and he was just going to work on Tristan Thompson. He hit a couple threes to start that third quarter. Kobe finally woke up. After Kobe had a brutal first half, he woke up after really bad first half. And then that fourth quarter, it looked like the Bulls might maybe pull away. And then a few times it looked like, and then you start waiting for like just the train to come off the rails. There was the one time they went up 7 and then the Celtics come back. They had a 3-on-1 fast break and the Celtics completely blew it. Denzel Valentine with a nice defensive play on that fast break. And the Bulls push it back out to 6. And then, as you mentioned, the Celtics come back. They tie it 90-90 with about 3.5 minutes to go. They hit a couple three-pointers, and it's like, all right, like, we're screwed. Like, this game's over. The Bulls are just going to fold down the stretch. And instead, Vucevic comes back, big bucket right away. They go down to him in the post. It's a big shot, 29 points. That was huge. And then after that, the Bulls got another stoppage. The defense down the stretch was huge. They had a couple steals. They had a couple steals. Kobe White, you mentioned the big Kobe White play. And I think Patrick Williams might have had a big steal. They just had a few big plays on Jason Tatum. You mentioned the poor shooting night for Jason Tatum. He was only 3 of 17. He was bad just from the very beginning of this game. And funny enough, he had his first career triple-double in this game. He had, like, I think 14, 13, and 10. But he shot, again, 3 of 17, 5 turnovers. He had a few really bad decisions and turnovers down the stretch where, again, the Bulls played good defense. Garrett Temple deserves a lot of credit for this game, playing his defense. He had a few big three-pointers. And instead of the Bulls just kind of pissing this game down their leg, they pulled it out. They kind of did this against the Cavs as well last game where it looked like they were about to blow it. They built up a lead and they blew it. And I think it was a three-point game against Cleveland on Saturday night. And then the Bulls finished strong in that one. So that's two straight games where it looked like the Bulls might just completely fold down the stretch like we've seen happen so many times this season. And instead, they ended up coming up with the big plays. I do think the fact that the Celtics were missing like half the rotation, that Tatum had one of his worst shooting games. The Bulls did catch a bit of a break with that. Obviously, LaVine being out was tough for them. I'm sure there will be some people who say that the Bulls Well, I'm sure just the Bulls are better without Zach LaVine stuff just because like their defense looks a lot better and the Bulls not sticking. I mean, their offense still wasn't very good for most of the game. The defense was legitimately pretty good, but again, the Celtics roster without Kemba, without Smart, without Fournier, who else? Robert Williams. They missed three starters in their sixth man, and then their best player has maybe his worst shooting game all year. Like, that will help your defense look good, but the Bulls do deserve credit for fighting hard. They had took a bunch more shots than the Celtics as well, thanks to second chance points and all those steals. So a win that they needed, because I think the Wizards just won. So if the Bulls would have lost, they would have been in 12th place, a game behind the Wizards. But now they get a big surprising win on the road, and like you said, always great to beat the Celtics. The Bulls have not had much success against the Celtics in recent years. I think this was like this broke a streak of 8 regular season losses in Boston. So to get a win, a surprising win, even with the Celtics missing so many guys, and especially the way the game started and they were down double digits early, it feels good.
Yeah, and so as you mentioned, the Bulls are now tied for the 10th seed, which would be the last spot in the play-in tournament, with the Wizards at 24-33. The Raptors are a half game back. They're 24-34. So this is all coming to a head. And I'll say, man, when the Celtics went on that run to open the game, I'm like, what am I doing watching this? Like, this is just such an irrelevant game. The Bulls are going to get smoked. I could be doing anything else with my time right now besides for watching this Bulls-Celtics game. But in reality, as you mentioned, there are stakes for this season. The Bulls made that Vucevic trade, I think, just to sort of, like, help their standing and their perception league-wide. A big part of the reason they made that trade, I think, was to establish themselves as sort of a team on the rise. The way to do that is to get into this play-in tournament, win a game or two, try to get into the playoffs. The Bulls are going to have their work cut out for them, for sure. You look at Charlotte in that 8 seed. They're getting LaMelo Ball back now. The surging Knicks, who have won 6 in a row under Tom Thibodeau, have now surpassed the Heat, and they're up to the 6 seed. So you got the Heat and the Hornets at 7-8. Then the Pacers, who lost Miles Turner for the year today. The Pacers just can't catch a break this year. And then you got the Bulls, Wizards, and Raptors fighting for that final spot. So there are some real stakes on this season, and I think that what you saw tonight is the player the Bulls thought they were trading for when they swung the deal to get Nikola Vucevic. I do not think he's really capable of playing any better than he played tonight. He was awesome. 29 points, 9 rebounds, pretty good paint protection, I'm going to say, defensively as well. Finished with 2 steals and a block. Obviously, Vucevic isn't super quick laterally. He's not someone who can soar over the rim to protect, block shots, protect the paint. But he's pretty good at just like locking down near the rim, pretty smart defender. I don't think that he's a terrible defender by any means. And I thought he looked pretty decent today in drop coverage. Like, of course, he's not very versatile defensively. You can only play so many different styles, and you sort of have to scheme your way towards being a decent defensive team with him as your five. But he's not awful at the five defensively. And then offensively, he showed the total package tonight. 3 of 6 from three. He even took a deep heat check three midway through the game because he was really feeling it. And then, you know, the Bulls did a good job finding him in the post early and often. You see Vucevic, 23 shots. No one else took more than Kobe White's 14. Vucevic is a really high usage battering ram of an interior scorer. He's not the most efficient player by any means, but post-ups in general like aren't exactly the most efficient shot attempts. And the guy most
when he does them,
post-ups though, in mid-range shots, and he's pretty good at it, right? Like, it's not exactly the bread and butter foundation of like a top 10 or top 5 offense that you're looking for, but he's just a battering ram, man. Like, he's so strong. He can score with either hand. He's really good on the pick and pop. And, you know, I know Billy Donovan has made a stink about Patrick Williams attempting mid-range shots, but when Vucevic goes to the mid-range, it's pretty much money. So, you know, I think that you have to tailor your offense to your personnel. And with Vucevic, the Bulls are just sort of going to play like a slow it down, grind it out style, unless he really gets hot from three-point range. And I think, you know, you sort of saw his touch from deep tonight. I really hope he's able to continue shooting this well from three, because You know, they're going to need him to continue to be a good 3-point shooter, you know, as he ages. And so far with the Bulls, I don't think this is counting tonight, but he entered at the first 13 games making 46.4% of his threes with the Bulls since coming over from the trade. So Vucevic has been pretty stellar offensively, even though the team has been struggling. And Jason, I think you saw the full package of his talent tonight.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, those shooting splits have been really good. And he had the Bulls on his back in the first half tonight. The Bulls' offense was a joke besides him. I think he had 17 in the first half, and the Bulls only had 42 in the first half. They were lucky to only be down 6. Like I said, the Celtics went up 12 there and then just kind of fell asleep to close that first half, and Vucevic put the Bulls on his back, kept him in it. And then he finally got some help. Kobe White came up big in the third quarter, hit some big free throws down the stretch. I mentioned Garrett Temple hit some big shots. So he got just enough help to come down the stretch and win this game. And then the defense helped win it too, which was nice to see, because obviously the Bulls defense has been just absolutely brutal for most of the season. But they've come up big here the last couple nights. Again, some weird circumstances with the opponents and all that kind of stuff, but just great to see them playing hard, not going into a shell, not quitting without one of their all-star players. And they battled hard, battled on the glass, and Vucevic led the way, and he was good. And this is a reason why you make this trade. If the Bulls don't make this trade, you don't have another all-star to carry you when your other all-star is out. So Vucevic carrying the load offensively, that's great. You actually mentioned the Pacers. I just looked at the standings again. The Bulls are only 2 games behind the Pacers now. Both the Bulls and Wizards are right on the Pacers' heels. Like, they might be in trouble now with Turner out. Like, maybe they just totally missed this whole plan. Like, that'd be kind of crazy. I think Sabonis was out tonight too. Like, they're like health-wise in big, big trouble. So it's kind of tightening up again, because just a few days ago, I think the Bulls were like maybe 4 or 5 games behind the Pacers, but now they've lost 3 in a row, and the Bulls have won a couple in a row. So now it's tightening up there for that number 9 spot, and the Wizards are on fire. So it's just nice that you mentioned the stakes. It's just like nice to actually be playing with actuals. I mean, you could argue what these stakes are, like to get blown out in the first round by one of the teams at the top. But like, just the fact after 4 years or whatever, for the Bulls to actually be playing games that mean something and to actually have meaningful wins in Boston again, that's pretty fucking dope. So that was nice to see, and just nice seeing them pull it out and kind of get back in this after just a really rough stretch. I mean, though, when they lost that Magic game was brutal, and the Grizzlies game on Friday night was they played pretty well for a half, and then they just got absolutely their doors blown off in the second half again. And it just seemed like they were about to hit rock bottom. Like, if that Cavs game, if they would have lost that game, like, I would have almost like said the season is over. But they've rebounded nicely, got a couple wins in a row without Zach, and now they're kind of right back in this mixture. So that's nice. Ricky, should we had a few speaker requests. Should we go to them now?
For sure.
All right, let's do it. Let's see. Oh no. It went away. If whoever was wanting to speak again, if you want to request whoever that was, I can't remember who it was. They might have left.
I was trying to make a point. Forgot I was on mute. I was just going to say, dude, if they lost that Cavs game, the entire fan base would have been completely into the tank, yeah. Right? Like, it would have been like, okay, let's just try to protect this pick. This season's a wash. Now, you know, you get that win against the Cavs. You get a win you didn't expect to get against the Celtics. The Bulls' next game, I believe, is against Cleveland again. I'm pulling up the schedule right now. So that's another winnable game against Cleveland. That's on Wednesday. Then they got Charlotte on Thursday. They won't have LaMelo yet. Charlotte also doesn't have Gordon Hayward. They've been struggling a bit lately. Then you got 2 against the Heat, 1 against the Knicks, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Philly. So that's going to be a really tough stretch of 6 games right there. The Bulls are going to want to beat Cleveland on Wednesday, and they can beat Charlotte on Thursday even better. Got to at minimum split those 2 games, go on a nice little 3 out of 4 streak here, because the 6 games after that are going to be really difficult. And really the entire end of the Bulls season looks like it's going to be pretty tough. Now, 2 of those games are against Brooklyn. You don't know if Brooklyn's going to be sort of like resting their starters. Brooklyn really has not been trying very hard to try to get the top seed in the East. Their last game of the year is against Milwaukee. We don't know if Milwaukee's going to have anything to play for. You know, 3rd to last game of the year is against the Raptors. But basically, the regular season wraps up May 16th. The play-in tournament starts, I think, the 18th. And all of this is coming to a head right now. The Bulls are in a furious sprint, basically playing every other day or, you know, a couple back-to-backs in there as well until the end of the season. So hey, man, they're still keeping our attention. And every game just feels so critical now, just as they try to get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the schedule like looks really tough, but like with all the injury reports are on the league are just ridiculous. Like so many guys hurt, sick, out, whatever. Like, so we'll see how that actually matches up. Rio, what do you got for us tonight?
What up, guys?
What's up?
I was reading an article, I believe, on Bleach Report, and I know it's a little early. We're still trying to see how things are going to go this season, but as I'm watching the games, you just don't get much from the guard spot out of Kobe and Sato a lot. You know, either they're real hot or you're just not getting much. And I'm just wondering, what do you guys think that they should and will do in the offseason to address the point guard situation? Like, I was reading an article, and I believe it was on Bleacher Report, and they were saying that the Pacers might have a fire sale, or they should. Do you think they should go after Malcolm Brogdon, and you know, or just put the chips in and go after Lonzo Ball and see how that works out?
Yeah, great question, Rio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for asking that question. Right before the trade deadline, I tweeted that I wanted the Bulls to trade Kobe White, Lauri Markkanen, and a first-round pick to the Pacers for Malcolm Brogdon. Half of my mentions were like, wow, way too aggressive. Can't believe you're going to go all in like that. And then what the Bulls actually did is a trade that was significantly more aggressive than the one I suggested, trading two first-rounders for Vucevic and Wendell Carter. So I would love Malcolm Brogdon. Now, Brogdon has had a quad injury this season, or I think it's possibly bothered him for a couple seasons, lower leg injury. Yeah. That's a really tough injury to come back from, and I think that like that's something that could linger and maybe impact the rest of his career. So with that caveat that I'm not totally sure how he's going to be able to play with, you know, that injury long term, I think Brogdon is a perfect fit next to LaVine, and he would be like basically exactly what you want next to him. A big guard who can spot up off the ball, great floor spacer as a shooter. Remember, he had a 40-50-90 season his last year with the Bucks. He goes to the Pacers, transitions into more of an on-ball point guard role, and he's been awesome at getting to the basket. He's basically been playing at a near all-star level. This month, 23 points a game. His efficiency isn't amazing, but still solid. And, you know, I think that he would be able to free LaVine up to play more off the ball on offense. So you don't have LaVine running so much pick and roll. And then defensively, like, he's just what you want next to LaVine, a big guard who could, like, handle multiple assignments, high IQ guy, really good off-ball help rotational defender. So I would love the Brogdon move. If the Bulls can get that somehow, I think that that is the best case scenario, assuming, you know, he can still be the same player long term. But I would like Lonzo as well. But, you know, Brogdon would be really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we talked about that before the trade deadline when that rumor first came up. And I am really curious, like, what the Pacers are going to do. Like, we've heard rumors forever, like, they're going to break up Turner and Sabonis. Again, they're five games under 500 this year. Brogdon has had the injury issues, as you kind of mentioned there, but just like he's when healthy, he's just a really solid player. So it will be interesting to see what the direction they go. The Pacers have been disappointing. We'll see if they do make any big moves like that. I know they've had a lot of injuries just in general. So I guess we'll see. I mean, obviously the Lonzo stuff we've talked about forever, and he hasn't looked that good since coming back from this latest injury he's had, which is kind of what happened earlier in the year. Like, he needed some time to get healthy, and he really got back. I know Lonzo took a lot of heat for botching that last second play against the Knicks over the weekend, and he didn't shoot that well either. But I mean, obviously the Bulls, I think they still know that they need an upgraded point guard. I will give Kobe some credit for playing a bit better these last two nights. Like, he's cut a lot of the really just terrible turnovers down a bit. He still hasn't shot the ball that great. He had that really nice game against the Grizzlies overall with the shooting. He did not shoot the ball well against the Cavs, but he did. The assist to turnover ratio has been much better. I know the defense, obviously, with Kobe is an issue, but I'll at least give him credit for battling tonight. He didn't have the toughest matchup. I mean, that's for sure, with the Celtics missing Marcus Smart, missing Kemba Walker. That was a break for Kobe, but he did have that big play down the stretch on defense. With, he got the steal off a lazy Tatum pass, and he had the big layup, and then he hit the four free throws. So I'll at least give Kobe some credit there, because Kobe was, he was down bad. I mean, again, the Bulls as a team were just really was down bad. Were down bad before the LaVine thing, and that seemed like it was a rock bottom moment. Then they lose to the Grizzlies with the last couple games. Kobe's at least kind of finally starting to look a little better. I do wonder how much of that is just like him and LaVine have just been like a terrible combination, because just defensively it's bad, and just like obviously both of them being more like ball dominant type guys, and Kobe just went. I mean, I don't even know if you'd really call Kobe ball dominant at this point. We just know he's a better shooter, but him and LaVine have just really struggled together this season as a pairing. So I do wonder if LaVine being out has kind of helped him a little bit, maybe get him a bit better rhythm. But I mean, just in general, it's been nice to see him just not be completely incompetent. Because was it I can't remember if it was the Magic game where he just played just at some of the worst, maybe his worst game of the season. It was either against the Magic or one of those other games down there, and it looked like he was unplayable. So at least get him back, getting a bit more confidence back has been nice. But I think overall, as Rio said, I think the Bulls do probably know that they still need an upgraded point guard if they really want to be a legitimate contending team. Like, if Kobe stays around as a six-man type, like, that's fine. I know we have talked about maybe they could look to trade him for something. If he does finish the season strong, I mean, maybe that builds his value for a trade. Maybe that the Bulls decide that they want to keep him around. Either way, at least he's not totally cratering here with Zach out, and he's looked a little better. So, but yeah, in general, Bulls, we know, need a better point guard option for sure if they want actually to be taken seriously.
Yeah, man, even in a game where Kobe, you know, he played pretty well, 19.7 assists, probably honestly one of his better performances of the season, like, he still had a lot of plays where he was missing open guys when he had the ball on offense. His defense was brutal. So, yeah, I mean, this has not been a good season for Kobe White. He basically has made no improvement from his rookie year. Defensively, I would say he's basically terrible. Offensively, he can't dribble. He can't get to the rim. He can't finish at the rim. He runs hot and cold. So when he's hot, he really can fill it up. He's an amazing free throw shooter, 91% free throw shooter, which is typically a strong shooting indicator. So, you know, 3-point shooting indicator, maybe long term he can develop into, you know, a 40% or greater 3-point shooter. Right now on the year, he's like at 34%. So, you know, Kobe's season has left a lot to be desired. I think the Bulls absolutely need a big upgrade in the point guard role. Part of the Vucevic trade meant that they were, you know, they diminished a lot of their best trade assets. Like, your two first round picks were probably the best trade assets you had. And then I think that Carter was, you know, he was a better trade asset than Markkanen, maybe debatably a better trade asset than White. But Kobe does have 2 years left on his rookie deal after this season. He's been pretty bad in general. So I personally would like to see the Bulls try to trade him. I think he's going to have a long career in the NBA. I think he's going to be a decent player, but I don't know. Long term, get Kobe out of here, I kind of think.
I know Stacey King has made it a point to really call Kobe out when he misses guys, and he did it again tonight at least once, maybe even multiple times. I wasn't listening super closely the entire game. I was kind of going in and out with the volume there, but there was at least one point where, like, and I think he went to the telestrator and even called it out as well. Just like, and he does it, I feel like, almost every game. And that, I mean, that's clearly a point of contention there, where even when he does have like decent games like tonight, like you said, he didn't turn the ball over, which is nice. He didn't have some of these games where he's had these just terrible turnovers, just like completely unforced boneheaded stuff is just awful. That has kind of gone away lately, but he's still, like you said, missing just easy reads, easy looks, and that kind of stuff he's got to get better at. Who knows if it ever does come. Like I said, I don't want to say that it's not going to, but it just got to get better. The Bulls need to get just better in that area in general. They did have 30 assists tonight. They do share the ball. They've shared the ball pretty well most of the season. I know there have been times where the ball does stick. If there's like one issue with LaVine, especially in crunch time, it's the hero ball type of stuff. But in general, the Bulls have moved the ball pretty well this season, but the turnovers have been a problem, and they do obviously miss some of those reads. Comment here from Jordan. He says, like to see a Sato, Kobe, Temple, Thad, Vooch lineup give Kobe more off-ball work. And I think the Kobe off-ball thing is something we have talked about a lot, and then I think it would make a lot of sense. I mean, it does seem like at this point with Zach out that they're, even before Zach was out, that they've committed to trying to do the Kobe point guard thing. Even when Zach was playing, Kobe was the backup point guard, and they were giving him those reps. And it was looking really, it was pretty rough for him off the bench there. And now that he's in the starting lineup, he's getting that look as the starting point guard. But yeah, I mean, that lineup in general would make sense. You got the vets in there, and then you have Kobe kind of playing off them. You have guys, a bunch of good passers. It's Sato, Temple, Thad, Vucevic. Those, they're all plus passers. And you have Kobe play off that. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I haven't seen like the lineup data to see if they've tried that yet, or how, I know Temple just kind of came back, but or if they even, I can't even remember if they tried that tonight, but that's definitely a lineup that I think makes a lot of sense. Just good passing. You have pretty good shooters out there as well. Just a bunch of smart players. You can play inside and out there. So I think it's at least a decent lineup to play to get Kobe off the ball more. And again, that's something we've talked about a lot, just to get him more just spot up looks instead of being that leader of the offense. Sure. Does anybody else have any comments in the if you want to come up here on stage and talk, if you have any comments in the, or you want to ask a question in the comments, please feel free. Ricky, do you have any other leftover thoughts from this game, big picture stuff, looking ahead? What do you got? Anything else?
Yeah, not too much. I think we can wrap it up, but next couple games, like I said, for the Bulls, honestly, they're must-win games at this point in the schedule. Got to be Cleveland on Wednesday. And it's going to be tough on a back-to-back against Charlotte, but that is a home game on Thursday. Hopefully we'll try to do another one of these, maybe after the Charlotte game. I don't know what your schedule is looking like, Jason. We can talk that out, but we're going to do another locker room pod this week. And, you know, these are some big games for the Bulls before the schedule gets more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I don't want to say they should win both, but they probably kind of should. Even without Zach, I mean, you still have another all-star, and the Bulls do have some decent depth. And besides Zach, they're actually really damn healthy. I mean, just look at the Celtics. The Celtics were missing three starters and Evan Fournier, and that's a lot, especially with the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics were running lineups with, you know, Luke Kornet, Jabari Parker, Tremont, like, is it Waters? I can know what his name is. And then like Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, who was absolutely awful tonight. And then again, you just like look around the league and all these teams are missing multiple stars in general. And the Bulls right now, even without Zach, they have the rest of their lineup intact. And they have some decent depth if guys aren't playing terribly. I mean, we saw Thad come off the bench again today and was pretty solid. Lowry is kind of what he is at this point. Lowry did play well against the Cavs. Tonight he did. He missed some open threes, which is tough, but he did a few nice moves inside. But I mean, theoretically, with the Bulls like being in a relatively decent spot health wise, like they should be able to take advantage with some of this depth, even with Zach out. If they play hard, they play defense, and with another all star there, I mean, they're not that shorthanded. Even though obviously missing Zach is tough, just with the points he puts up. But when they have all these other guys there, and with all these other teams missing guys. Again, I mean, the Cavs aren't any good. I know the Cavs made a little run here. They got kind of close, but I think they lost the Pistons tonight, if I'm not mistaken. They got down big, and then they came back, and then they lost. So, like, they're falling. They've kind of fallen back again, four games back of the Bulls. And then the Hornets. I mean, you mentioned the Hornets. I mean, they're down. He said LaMelo won't be back just yet. I think he'll be back next week. Hayward's still out. I know they were dealing with some other injuries, but I think, like, Rozier and Devontae Graham and P.J. Washington are back now. But, like, I mean, the Hornets won't be an easy game, but like, again, they're missing their two best players. So like, that's a game where the Bulls did beat the Hornets earlier this season. So like, that's a game where you could argue the Bulls should win that one too, even on the second of a back-to-back. So definitely some huge games. We can't lock in any games for that. I mean, that's for, we just saw the Bulls get their ass beat by the Orlando Magic by, I know the game ended up being a bit closer than it was, but they got their ass beat by them. We saw them lose to the Cavs before the trade deadline. Obviously, that was before Vucevic, but we can't lock in any wins for sure. But if they play at least decent, they play hard like they did tonight, they should beat some of these teams. Jordan pointed out that Rob Schaefer tweeted that the Bulls are 9-6 with Garrett Temple starting. Having Garrett Temple back is definitely very nice. I think today, like tonight's game, was an example of the way Temple played right at the start of the season. When the Bulls are playing some of their best basketball to start the season, like that West Coast road trip where they played tight with the LA teams, they had that huge comeback in Portland. Garrett Temple was off to an incredible start this season, shooting wise and playing solid defense and playing smart ball. And that was the kind of version we saw at Garrett Temple tonight. He had all three of his three-pointers. He had, I think, four assists. He played the defense on Jason Tatum. So just having that kind of that wing, we've seen the Bulls just struggling. They have had nobody to guard wings. So they actually have a competent 3-and-D guy. I mean, we're not going to always get that Garrett Temple every night because he's a journeyman guy. But like when you, the Bulls do get that version of Garrett Temple, and when he plays well, that's huge. And that kind of is borne out in the stat that Jordan brought up from Rob Schaefer today, that the Bulls are 9-6 or like 9-7, something like that, when Garrett Temple is starting. So they're not totally awful when he's in the lineup and when he's playing well like today. So that's definitely something to watch out for as the Bulls keep going forward here. Like I said, if anybody else, this last call, if anybody else wants to come up here and speak, otherwise we are going to wrap it up here. Here we go. We got Tamir wants to come and have a comment. So 1 second.
Hey, Tamir, go ahead. I'm not trying to be rude, Buck. I just need 20
seconds. Yep, all good. Oh, hold on. We'll bring up Nick first here. He'll have a comment before Tamir comes back. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, I'm back. So this is about the Bulls. I think this is just like a take about like centers and like shooting more centers than shooting guards. More related to Zach Levine and Nikola Vucevic. I think like having like talent, like shooting, like dribbling, and like scoring, and like even like IQ to an extent. Not really IQ. I feel like talent in that sense. I feel like involved in being a good shooting guard and like having like the effort and stuff. I feel like it's just a bit of like an overrated like a way to rate players. I think you got to rate them off their production, not off their, like, I feel like me and Nick, like we go to the same school. Like we were talking about it. Like our teacher, like he was playing basketball. He's not talented at all.
No
like,
talent.
But like, you know what I mean? Like when you're good, you know what I mean? I feel like it's just an example. Someone like Thaddeus Young, for example, he's not ultra talented, but like, he makes the most of it, and he's probably the second or third most effective player on this team. I feel like just talent and like even like being an effective player, like I feel like it's just like with talent and like it's
maybe to a degree for sure. I mean, the point about Thad Young is definitely right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it can also just be like basketball IQ, just the smarts. Thad just makes so many good decisions. I know he's had, there have been times where he's had some issues, but like, for the most part, I mean, he's such a smart player, smart passer, and making those kind of plays can make up for if you're lacking talent. I think ultimately, when you're talking about like winning championships and like doing that kind of stuff, like big time, obviously you need to have that top tier talent there. But I mean, one thing the Bulls just haven't had in recent years has been smart players, and like Thad Young is an example. But like, I think Vucevic is also an example. I mean, he's very talented, but he's also a pretty smart player in terms of his passing, in terms of he knows where to make the right plays, and all that kind of stuff. So like, just adding a guy like that who can make those kind of high IQ plays, just the Bulls have needed that and they've lacked that. And I mean, that kind of goes back to the Kobe thing as well, where just like, I wouldn't say he just doesn't have the highest basketball IQ right now as a player. So obviously, again, that's why the Bulls could use that kind of upgraded point guard. I mean, you can argue Zach doesn't have the best basketball IQ either. We've talked a long time about Zach's decision making. Sometimes him going broke can sometimes hurt the team. Again, he's obviously also really talented, and he's put the Bulls on his back for much of the season. But you got to find that mix. You obviously got to have the talent, but you also need to have those smarts. You got to play hard, because we've seen games where the Bulls, they don't play smart and they don't play hard, and they lose by and they get their ass beat by the Orlando Magic.
Exactly.
So, tonight they played. And I wouldn't say they necessarily played super smart, but they played hard, and that was good. And they got a win because of it.
Yeah. Also, going back to like Patrick Williams, for example, I think he is very, very talented, but like, I don't know if he's going to be like the next like Kawhi, as people are saying, because I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Kawhi thing is like absolutely crazy. But like, I mean, Patrick Williams has shown flashes, I think, of that basketball IQ and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, we'll definitely see. Nick, what was the point you wanted to make? We wanted to wrap up here. We don't want to go too long. But Nick, I want to give you a chance to speak. And then we had somebody else who wanted to speak as well. So, Nick, your turn.
Yeah.
Moving on. Ethan, go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. So real quick, I'm actually a Celtics fan, and I just got to give you guys some kudos. Obviously, it pains me to see a game like that. I felt like we didn't play as hard as you guys, but you hit the nail on the head. I think. In terms of just, you know, showing a little more IQ, there was a couple of moments in the game where I noticed like Kobe was like about to rush it, and then he took his time and like let the play clock go down. It's not a typical play you would have seen him do even a few months ago or last year. So it's little things like that I think you're seeing some slight improvements on. And the Bulls, to me, are one of those teams that just have a ton of talent. It's just a matter of fit. So, for example, one of the major things they did, I feel, in the middle of the year was starting Satoransky over Kobe and letting Kobe kind of, you know, be more of that scorer off the bench, and delineating him and Levine was key. And against the Celtics tonight, you saw a lineup that kind of made a lot of sense, right? Where Vucevic was a clear primary guy, killed the Celtics down low. Kobe was kind of a nice secondary guy a bit. But it wasn't like over – when you have like Levine, Kobe, and Vuce, and then you have Markkanen, it's almost like too much. It's too many guys that feel like they need to be the number one, number two guy, and it's just a bad fit overall. The talent's there. It's just a matter of getting the fits, and I think the Bulls just need to make tweaks here and there, but they have enough talent, I think, to get there.
Yeah, I mean, something we've talked about on this pod before is, like, we think the Bulls are kind of just, like, half – maybe not half finished, but just kind of, like, they're still, like, such a work in progress. They do have to find just those better fits to just, like, fit this all together in terms of, like, playing both sides of the court. Like, you might – like, Lowry just doesn't seem like he's the best fit here at this point anymore, unless, like, they bring him back on, like, a really cheap deal. The Kobe thing, obviously a work in progress. And they're still just trying to figure out some of the best lineups to run around some of these guys. They probably still need that point guard upgrade. But yeah, I mean, they have two all-stars in place now, and that was one of the reasons they make the trade to get those talented guys in place. And now they still have to make the other moves to kind of take themselves to the next level. And that's something we've talked about ad nauseum. We'll see what kind of moves they do make this offseason. It'll be interesting because next year, I think this year, they are playing for this play-in tournament. They have a decent chance to get in the spot that they're in right now. But I think a lot of it's about next year, and hopefully with the new front office can make flip around some of the rest of this roster, get some better fits in there to go with their top guys. And then hopefully that will, then next year, maybe they can be a team that challenges for the top four, top five seed in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I mean, like the pieces aren't even that hard to get, to be honest. Like Satoransky was one, but like it's a minor. Like you need a bunch of like Jay Crowder types, you know, like unsung hero.
They need wings. They need three D wings.
yeah. But like Memphis has got a few of them. Like yeah, like you know, and they, you know, those teams out there. That can use the type of talent that the Bulls have. Like, I think Lauri Markkanen is a great reclamation project elsewhere, like on a team like Detroit or something like that. It just wasn't, you know, a great fit. And that's, you know, that kind of thing happens when you draft the seventh pick 4 years in a row, right?
Yeah, sure does. Absolutely. Hey, man, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your comments. Sorry for your Celtics tonight. That was a really weird game, honestly, for them. Like Tatum was just bad, and everyone's hurt and kind of bad, and all that kind of stuff tonight. The Grant Williams minutes were brutal. They're playing Jabari and Luke Kornet was kind of funny, those lineups. But the Celtics are obviously they're starting to finally pick it up down the stretch here. They were just on a 16 winning streak. Tatum is usually awesome, even though he just had his. It was something the worst first triple double you'll ever see since he shot 3 of 17. Just a super super weird game for him tonight. But thanks again, man, for joining us. We're gonna wrap it up here. We've been going for a while, and thank you for everybody else who commented in the comments and who came up here and talked. Ricky, again, sorry, I've been obviously going on for a while here. Ricky, do you have any final thoughts here before we wrap up officially?
Nope. Thanks for.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network, Blue Wire Podcasts. Tons of great podcasts all across the network. Go check them out if you like listening to us. A ton of other great podcasts for us, as always. This podcast, if you missed any of this, the full thing will be up in our feed later tonight. So if you want to go back and listen to any of it. And as always, you can rate and review us. Let us know how we're doing. Again, as Ricky mentioned, I do think we're going to do probably another one of these later this week. Probably after the Hornets game, after that back-to-back. So look out for that later this week on Thursday night. And that's been all for us here at Cash Considerations, HK Wolves Podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time.